Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast here on BuffaloRumblings.com and everywhere else you go to find your podcasts. We are so glad you took the time to listen to us here on Believe. We are coming at you after Buffalo's Week 9 win over the Washington Redskins 24-9 to get to 6-2 on the year. It's the first time since the 1993 team started off 7-1 that Buffalo has this many wins over its first 9 weeks of the season. The Bills remain in second place, technically, in the AFC behind the New England Patriots, who suffered their first loss of the year. A lot of the NFL fans rejoicing over the Patriots falling from the ranks of the undefeateds. Of course, Baltimore, one of Buffalo's upcoming opponents in December, ran wild and ran roughshod over Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's vaunted defense. So there's some concerns for that game coming up December 8th in Buffalo. But of course, we will get to that on a future podcast. Here we are focused on Week 9. Buffalo gets the win. They bounce back from their moribund performance against the Eagles to record a 24-9 win. The offense scored on all three of their first half possessions and made up for a defense that in the first half allowed Adrian Peterson to run like vintage 2007 AP with over 100 yards and 10 yards a carry. But as they've done all year long, this defense employed a bend but don't break philosophy. And of course, here on the Believe podcast, my name is John Boccacino. I want to welcome on our co-host, Jamie D'Amico. And Jamie, you know, we're sitting here and the Bills have played half of their games on the schedule. They're 6-2 on the year. And I know that we've talked about expectations, and we'll get into this at a later part of our podcast today with, you know, where things are at, where Bills fans expected them to be, what our thoughts are for the rest of the year. But 6-2 feels pretty damn good. There was a cool opinion piece on Buffalo Rumblings talking about, you know, the Bills and their record and where they are. And basically the point of it was, you know, the Bills are what their record is. Get over it. You know, there were a lot of people like Micah Hyde had a great quote where he's saying he's apologizing for wins. A win's a win, no matter how pretty or ugly it gets, right?
Nick Badalana of the Nick and Nolan Show wrote that piece. It was a very good one and very on point. 6-2 is great. Now, you know, the Bills are not getting any style points. They don't win pretty, and they don't absolutely blow away the teams with poor records, but they are consistently beating them, and it's really hard to find fault with winning consistently, which, let's be frank here, this is something we haven't seen in many, many years. And, you know, teams are looking at the record and they're saying, okay, apparently the Buffalo Bills can play. On the other hand, fans are looking at them saying, ah, oh, geez, but they're not elite. Oh, let's poke some holes in it. No, they're not elite. We can tell that by looking at them. But as Sean McDermott said, hey, we don't make the schedule. At the same time, Sean McDermott is getting his team ready to win the games against the weaker teams. And that is more than half the game in the NFL. I'm liking what I'm seeing.
Well, and guess what, Jamie? Breaking news. Sean McDermott's not going to make the schedule in 2020 or 2021 or any of the future years. You play who is in front of you.
What?
I know, a shocking concept out there. You know, it's the schedule makers come up with this. And every year let's be honest, though, too. We knew when we did our preview podcast for the season that the Bills had a chance. It wasn't like they were facing a murderer's row early on in the season. The schedule does get a lot tougher, you know, the final 7 games of the year, although some of those opponents, like the Cleveland Browns, have fallen on their face and are not nearly as good as we thought they were going to be. But I like what I like about this team is, okay, Washington hung around on Sunday. It was a one-score game. But I never really felt like Washington was going to get that tying score to put the pressure back on Buffalo. And this defense, you know, credit Leslie Frazier, because whatever he did at halftime, whatever speech he gave in there, whoever got up on the benches and rallied the troops, they bounced back from a terrible performance, especially in the ground game. Adrian Peterson, again, averaged over 10 yards a carry in the first half and rushing for over 100 yards, looked like vintage AP, but the Bills still had a huge lead going into the second half. In the second half, Adrian Peterson finished with, I believe, 7 yards in the second half. That, to me, is the story of the day, making the adjustments. And, you know, Buffalo did what they had to do to get the win. So I want to give kudos to Leslie Frazier and the defense, not only for their adjustments after halftime with the run game, but we finally saw the pass rush that Bills fans were expecting this year. Everybody got in on the act. Jordan Phillips had his team-leading 6th sack. Tre'Davious White had his first career sack of Dwayne Haskins. Jerry Hughes got in the act, finally getting a sack of his own, his first since the season opener. And the Bills did just enough to get the win to get to 6-2.
I want to start by sort of talking about the Washington Redskins here. I hope fans really took in and appreciated what they saw in Adrian Peterson. Here we have a Hall of Fame running back that Bills fans probably haven't seen too much of. It's always nice to get to watch the best of the best. And in the first half, he showed us exactly who he is and what he's been for the majority of his career. And on the other side of it, his quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, his very first start in the NFL, I think that he probably has some promise there. He looked very calm in the pocket. And yes, he missed a number of passes that you would probably expect him to make, but it was his first start. And we've been preaching with Josh Allen that we have to be patient. And I think that, you know, Dwayne Haskins probably deserves the same courtesy, shall we say. But looking at what was going on there, Adrian Peterson rushing for over 100 yards for the 11th time in his career in the first half of a game. Man, is that unacceptable. Wow. How did that happen, John?
Well, you know, here's the thing. It constantly seemed like Buffalo's interior defensive linemen were just getting pushed off their block by a pretty average Washington offensive line where, you know, before you knew it, Adrian Peterson was 6, 7, 8, 10 yards downfield and running to daylight. And I give Washington a lot of credit for, again, being aggressive with their play calling, for knowing that they wanted to get their bell cow Adrian Peterson going in the first half to fuel their offense, especially with a rookie quarterback making his first start down there. But as much as AP was impressive, and it was really cool, and there was a really cool moment after the game, Frank Gore and Adrian Peterson shaking hands after the game. And then Devin Singletary, who was our offensive MVP, had a dynamic performance for Buffalo's offense. He's kind of like walking past these two future Hall of Famers. And Frank Gore nonchalantly tags him, brings him over, and you could just see the joy in Singletary's face and getting to meet one of the all-time great running backs in Adrian Peterson. I thought it was a really cool moment, a proverbial little passing of the torch, if you will, between a veteran who has been there, done that, and a rookie who has shown a lot of promise out there for Buffalo. So, but before we get to Singletary's performance, one last note on AP. Whatever Buffalo did for their second half adjustments, Peterson's final 7 rushes of the game were for -3 yards, 0, 4, 0, 0, and -2. So the adjustments worked, and I'm glad to see Buffalo got back on track with their run defense. Hopefully that's a thing where they recognize what they were doing wrong when it came to the run game and make those adjustments, because you cannot allow over 100 yards on 10 yards a pop every single time that the defense goes out there. But again, Buffalo got the win, did just enough. It was a 17-3 lead. Washington with Dwayne Haskins looked like an offense that has a lot of work to still do. Only 126 passing yards for Haskins. He got pushed around a lot. Heck, even Trent Murphy, the milk carton advertisements work. They found Trent Murphy in Western New York. He came up with a big sack too. So I was impressed with the way the defense kind of pushed around the rookie.
I have to tell you that I was having a lot of emotions at the end of the first half. And I was taking some notes, which I tend to do once in a while on my phone because I'm that big of a dork that I want to be prepared for my podcast here with the great John Boccacino. Anyway, amongst the notes was Bills getting pushed off the line of scrimmage, interior line looking silly, Peterson going to destroy. And then I was actually feeling so bad about this. I wrote, Bills so bad at stopping run, I don't think they make the playoffs. I was having feelings, John. I was looking at it in the first half, and I was saying, obviously teams have figured this team out, and they know what the formula is, and this is all every team is going to do the rest of the way. The Bills need to go 4-4 in order to get to that 10-win threshold, which is usually the magic number for the playoffs. And I'm looking at that saying, I don't think they can win four games. I think every team is going to run it on every snap. Buffalo's never going to see the ball, and they're never going to get a 3-and-out again. And, I'm glad the second half changed my mind a little bit. I was losing it, man.
Yeah, that gives some insight into the great Jamie D'Amico's mindset during a Bills game. I know that a lot of fans, again, were frustrated that Buffalo didn't run away and record a 3-touchdown victory, but I don't know. Listen, the Bills got the win. They pushed around Washington when they needed to. The Josh Allen that we saw, and you know, before we get to Josh Allen, Devin Singletary, you had yourself a day, young man. That was just phenomenal to watch the way. I mean, that 49-yard screen pass that he hauled in and ran downfield from Josh Allen was beautiful. He had 140 all-purpose yards. He assaulted the game away with a great 2-yard run off the left tackle with more than 2 minutes to go to give Buffalo the final margin in this one, 24-9. And again, I said it earlier, even though Washington was hanging around, I never felt like the Bills were in jeopardy of losing this game to Washington. I do want to call out a couple of things involving Brian Daboll and the play calling. Boy, Jamie, you talk about wanting Bills fans wanting nothing to do with what was happening on the field. Frank Gore and his inability to punch the ball in from 1 yard out four times they couldn't get the 1 yard necessary to find the end zone. To me, I don't know, try something a little bit more creative. Do Josh Allen on a bootleg, you know, try something, because after the first time, I get it. You want to run the ball and you want to prove that you can get this touchdown. The second time, I guess I'm okay with trying again. The third time, it's like, what are we doing? The Redskins had a great game plan for that run stuffing. They knew exactly what they were doing. They could not have seen the play telegraphed more easily than what Buffalo was putting out there, what they were going to do with their ensuing plays. And thank goodness Josh Allen snapped that streak of short yardage ineptitude by getting the touchdown when he did on the sneak. But again, then the following series when Buffalo has a chance to punch it in and really blow the game open, stopped on 3rd-and-1 for negative yardage, bringing up a punt. And then there was a 4th-and-1 for no gain, turning the ball over on downs. Something has got to change, Jamie, because teams that win, how does Tom Brady go 98% on his sneaks of 1 yard, and yet Buffalo can't get 1 yard on three straight sessions from the 1 yard line? Exact same play each time, by the way.
I understand what they were trying to do there. You want to win the physical battle, especially in short yardage situations. But the problem is Washington has three very stout defensive linemen in their 3-4 alignment who were very much controlling the interior of the Bills' offensive line. In fact, the Bills' offensive line was giving up ground on those plays, and on one of them, Mitch Morris got pushed back so far into the backfield that Frank Gore tripped over him and, you know, finished that play for a loss. You've got to do better than that. Now, the Bills were having all kinds of success running Singletary to the edge. Why did they not continue running Singletary to the edge? Just didn't make a lot of sense to me. I realized that if Brian Daboll is running anything that's a little bit too creative, he's going to get killed for that too, especially down at the goal line. You know, the philosophy is you want to go straight ahead, you want to push your opponent off the ball, and you want to take the shortest distance between 2 points, which is straight. But it wasn't working, John. I agree with you that. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it was infuriating in the stadium too, because that's one of those moments where you're like, okay, Buffalo could really put their stamp on this game and pull away early with a rookie quarterback on the road, the bigger deficit he has to face, the more that Buffalo's defensive linemen can just really fly to the ball and try to attack Haskins and give him confusing looks and maybe force a turnover. And then you're talking about a 3-touchdown lead. Instead, Buffalo turns the ball over, and it was just, I don't know, Brian Daboll sometimes, I think he gets too cute. You know, I think maybe, listen, if you're right, if he calls a vanilla playbook, a vanilla game, fans are going to criticize him. If he gets too cute and he turns the ball over, fans are going to criticize him. So there's got to be a happy medium somewhere in between there, because I think Buffalo has a very underrated group of weapons on offense for Josh Allen at his disposal, including our main man, Smoke Brown, who was unbelievable yet again. What an underrated free agent signing. You know, he's only the second Bills player ever to have 8 straight games of 4 or more catches and 50 or more yards in a game, joining Hall of Famer Andre Reed. And he's just been an incredible safety blanket out there for Josh Allen to find downfield. So I don't know. My gosh, if the Washington defense, which was getting gouged this year in the run game, can stop Buffalo 3 straight plays, imagine what the Ravens will do. Imagine what the Patriots will do. Imagine what the Cowboys will do. It's just, it does not set up the team for good success if you can't dominate and push around an inferior opponent.
But while we're talking about the run, we absolutely have to discuss Devin Singletary's breakout performance here. Like you said, he did well. And that was 95 yards, the most he's ever had in a game in the NFL. It was the most number of carries. And his success was coming on the outside zone runs. And the reason he was running so well, and I've said it before, it's something you just can't quantify, his vision. He sees his blockers and sets them up so incredibly well. There was one particular run where Montez Sweat had beaten Dawson Knox and gotten into the backfield. And what did Singletary do? He aligned his shoulders, squared them up, and then was able to move just ever so slightly so that Knox was between him and the defender. It was a thing of beauty, and he does it all game long. Another great example on that 49-yard screen pass. You saw 3 offensive linemen get out ahead of him on that, and I mean, that was a thing of beauty in and of itself, just seeing the linemen so far downfield still throwing blocks. But you could see him just subtly moving side to side, placing the blocker in the perfect position to land the block and keep himself unscathed. I'm enjoying watching this guy. And oh, by the way, I've said it before and I'll say it again. There were 3 Hall of Famers in running back in that game. Singletary, future Hall of Famer.
Breaking news here. You heard it on Believe. After the first 8 games of his career, Devin Singletary going into the Hall of Fame, the Canton jacket. Get it ready for the fitting. But no, I agree, Jamie. I mean, what I love the most is, yeah, we've known that Devin Singletary, nicknamed Motor, has a great ability to see the hole, to attack it, and to break on through. And you mentioned some great runs that he had where he was patient, he waited for the hole to open up, and then he attacked. A play I want to point out, I believe it only gained 9 or 10 yards, but oh my gosh, he broke some dude's ankles on Washington's defensive line. And then Deion Dawkins comes in, and the pancake block that he delivered to throw this guy to the ground and let Devin get a couple more yards. I mean, those are the plays that really should excite Bills fans because, and I'm sorry, we're not trying to pick on LeSean McCoy, but he tried doing that last year. And he had a stretch where he had 20 yards on 20 carries. Devin Singletary comes out there. Now, granted, the O-line is much improved compared to last year, but Devin just has the explosiveness and the patience to really make Bills fans feel happy about where they're going with their 3rd-round pick out there. And, you know, it was so much fun to watch him run wild. He accounted for 140 yards from scrimmage, the most since Shady had 147 against the Patriots in 2017. And there you go, your first awesome career game, over 100 yards of all-purpose offense, putting him on his path to Canton as Buffalo gets to 6-2 on the year. I know, Jamie, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, by the way, that Buffalo, breaking news, had a huge kickoff return in this game too. Andre Roberts, how big was his return going through to get Buffalo up to a 17-3 lead? You don't really see a lot of major plays from the special teams and the kickoff unit, but Andre Roberts brought up back a kick 66 yards, setting up Buffalo's 3rd score. He squeezed his way through a narrow little crease and then was off to the races, setting up a 39-yard 11-play drive that was capped by Josh Allen's sneak for a 17-3 lead. And the Bills, of course, would go on to win this one 24-9.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
I know we've spent a lot of time talking about the offense and, give a lot of credit to Josh Allen. The numbers were not fantastic, but he did not throw an interception yet again. He was 14 of 20 for 160 yards and a beautiful ball to Cole Beasley, who, if you haven't seen the photo, go on social media of Cole Beasley leaping into the stands at New Era Field, surrounded by Bills fans who are just mugging him and hugging him and high-fiving. It's awesome. There's sheer euphoria on the face of Cole Beasley, who really has taken to being here in Western New York. And I think for the first time in a while, Jamie, we're not going to focus too much on Josh Allen in this podcast because he wasn't really a factor, you know? I mean, especially in the second half when the offense got really conservative, maybe it was the wins, maybe it was the fact that they knew Singletary was running wild. They didn't ask Josh to do too much at all in the second half. And he really did play that game manager role to a T. I still wish he would cut down on the turnovers, because the fumble that he had could have been a backbreaker for Buffalo out there. He's got to stop being so loose on some of those design runs. It was his second fumble of the game and fifth in the last two games, but only one of those fumbles was actually lost. So I guess they're doing a good job of recovering the ball before setting up the Redskins with a short field, if you want to pick a positive out there. But I think where I want to go, Jamie, with the rest of the Belief podcast that we've got, you know, Buffalo gets the win. They're 6-2. It's the first time since 1993 that the Bills have won at least six of their first eight games. That team started off 7-1 en route to a fourth straight Super Bowl appearance. But this year's team, you know, when the season started, the Las Vegas experts said Buffalo had a 6.5 projected over under win total for this year. Well, through halfway of their games, they've already got six. And we kind of talked about the raised expectations a little bit last week. What does this performance and Buffalo being 6-2, and technically they're in control of, you know, their destiny, if they can somehow win in Foxborough? I mean, the division is, I know it's way ahead of ourselves, but the division is still a possibility. But what has this done for your expectations of the team?
My expectations are right about where they have always been for this team. Now, we have said that the Bills are not exactly facing a murderer's row of opponents out of the gate here. And we knew this going in. But, see, here's the thing. In the past, the Bills lost those games. Here they are taking care of business. That's incredibly positive. That shows me that the team has mentally taken a leap and talent-wise has taken a leap forward. In the past, you know, we always said, looked at the schedule and said, oh, this team, that team, and that team, they're terrible. The Bills are going to win. Well, they wouldn't. This is a team that is learning how to win. Now, I think talent-wise and maybe even coaching-wise, the Bills are a little more toward the middle of the pack than their record indicates. That's not a bad thing. That's just the schedule that they have. But give Sean McDermott and his team credit. They're beating the teams they need to beat. And that's how you get to the playoffs in the NFL. Are they going to compete for a Super Bowl this year? No, not a chance. They will get into the playoffs. They may even win a game in the playoffs, but you know, they're not going to be, you know, they're not going to be in the championship game. And, you know, on any given day, any team can win. Let's not lose sight of that. But the second half of the season, I think that we're going to see kind of what they're made of. The blueprint is out. You can beat the Bills by running. We've seen that over the past couple of weeks. Now, granted, I should say we've seen that over the last game and a half because Buffalo figured it out against Washington. But Washington's not a good team, so it's not a good barometer of where the Bills are. We're going to find out this year. I predicted before the season that they were probably going to win 9 games. They will probably win 10 games. So, I mean, I don't think there's anything to be unhappy about here. And I think that I'm thrilled that we're seeing some good performances and some development out of some young players that we need to see in order for this team to continue taking leaps into the future in 2020 and beyond. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Jamie, I'm glad you brought those are all valid points that Jamie D'Amico brought up here on Bill Leave a Buffalo Bills Fan Podcast. And I want to go a little bit more in depth, starting with the Washington game. Look, people wanted to see Buffalo roll up a 3 or 4 touchdown win over Washington. And, you know, if you're disappointed by that, that's on you. Those are your expectations. I wanted to see Buffalo go in there and play a clean game and get a big win and get to 6-2. They won by 15 points. The line was 10. The Redskins on the year have been giving up 12 points more per game than their opponents have. The Bills beat them by 15. The Bills played exactly the type of a blueprint game with a second-year quarterback who is still developing that you want to see. If Josh had tried to go for 300 yards passing and light it up, and Josh Norman came away with a couple interceptions, and this game was a lot closer than you thought, how would you feel about it? You'd be upset that Josh was taking unnecessary risks. So instead, even though they were a little more conservative with their play calling near the goal line, Buffalo got a 2-touchdown victory over an inferior team they were supposed to beat to get to 6-2. So I give the Bills credit. They're not making Josh do too much. His developmental arc is so great that right now all you want to see is him continue to take steps forward. And yes, there's things we're upset about, like the fumbles, but when's the last time that we've said Josh Allen made a horrible throw off his back foot into triple coverage instead of taking a sack or throwing the ball away? There was a beautiful play that might have been the best incomplete pass Josh Allen has ever had. It was in the fourth quarter. It eventually was on the drive where Devin Singletary had the 2-yard run to give Buffalo the final score here in week 9. But Josh Allen stepped up, eluded the rush, and had a beautiful pass to John Brown, who for one of the few times this year had a drop. The ball was so well delivered. But you watch Josh have poise and calm in the pocket when things are chaotic all around him. He just kind of calmly, nonchalantly stepped up and threw a beautiful ball to John Brown towards the goal line. It was not corralled, but to me, that signifies great progress for Josh, that he is not forcing things. And, you know, the Bills got the win. So I'm not going to tell you how to feel as a Bills fan. If you want to be pissed off that they didn't win by 3 touchdowns on Sunday, that's your prerogative. My prerogative, and I think Jamie, yours too, is let's enjoy the fact that Buffalo is 6-2, because yeah, there's so many times in the past where the Bills would have had games that were slam dunk wins at home and they would have laid an egg. Not this time. Of course, there's a lot of work still to do. I would love 10 wins. I feel good about 11. I would just be unbelievably happy over Buffalo's playoff chances, because you're not missing the playoffs if you get to 11 wins. And right now you look at the fact that the Jets are a dumpster fire. The Dolphins might turn back to Josh Rosen at some point. You know, Fitzy has been great, but you know that Fitzmagic is going to turn, as you like to say, to Fitz tragic sooner or later. So they could bench him. There's 2 more wins out there to be had. And you never know what's going to happen with Cleveland coming up on Sunday, but the Bills, just enjoy this ride, Bills fans. We've been complaining for so long about mediocre play that it, just enjoy it, you know? And if you want to be pissed off, be pissed off. But I'm telling you, it's much better off still being able to be critical of the team, but enjoying where they're at.
Can you poke holes in this team? Yeah. Remember, it was 1st and goal at the 2-yard line and they went backward 22 yards? Yeah, that just happened. Against a team that isn't even that good. But you know what? This team is performing. Enjoy it. I'm with you on that. I do have a bone to pick, because there is always critics, and there will always be critics. And I think it is easy to poke holes in this team. But the one who can't seem to win is Josh Allen. And the bone to pick is over an article I read yesterday that basically criticized Josh Allen for becoming a game manager and not taking chances. What the hell? We were killing him for throwing interceptions and making stupid plays. Now he's taking care of the ball and hasn't needed to be flashy, and he's being beat up for that. You know what? The guy is somewhere in between harnessing his talent and understanding what is smart football. Let it play out. He's not going to be a perfect quarterback after a season and a half, and we knew this when he was coming out of college. Give the guy a break. Look at the entirety of his body of work at the end of the season and then decide how far he's come. The one thing I wanted to see was him to stop throwing stupid interceptions. And he's doing that. Let's give credit where it's due. For the love of God, man.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Jamie. You know, Josh Allen is right now in his developmental phase. He has not yet started two full seasons here in the National Football League. He's got the highest quarterback rating in the fourth quarter amongst all the quarterbacks in the league. That's what you want to see from your quarterback, is coming through clutch. He did the same thing on Sunday on that game-winning or the game-sealing drive, which was just incredible to watch the way, including the deep ball that he put on John Brown right around the 15-yard line that set up the game-salting score for Buffalo. He's got 7 touchdowns and 1 pick over his last 4 games. Bills are 3-1 in that stretch. He's on pace to complete a great season for Buffalo. And, he's got the second highest completion percentage inside the red zone. What more do you want? You know, this guy is not going to be a 300-yard passer week in and week out. So what? The Bills are winning. So just love it, enjoy it, and really have fun with this, because we wanted Josh to improve his completion percentage. He's almost at 61% of his completion of his passes being completed, which is a big step up from where he was last year when he was struggling to get over 51%. And there's a great graphic I just saw here on Twitter I want to punch up for a second. That 1993 season, the last time the Bills made the Super Bowl. Now, granted, it was a different era for quarterbacks, but Jim Kelly to Josh Allen through the first 8 games of the season. That year in 93, Jim Kelly was completing 58% of his passes for 1,134 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 7 picks. Josh Allen through the first 8 games, 61% completion percentage, 1,653 yards, 10 touchdowns, 7 picks. Lay off the guy. His development is coming along quite nicely.
Wow. I didn't realize that. Yeah. Different era, but geez.
Well, and also thanks to the Twitterverse for having basically anything available at a moment's notice. I just literally punched that one up there. But it goes to show Josh Allen can't win. You're right. So you know what? If you're going to hate on him, hate on him. But at least appreciate the fact that the Bills are winning, because we here at Believe are very happy with the fact that we're talking about winning football. We're not talking about Nathan Peterman or Derek Anderson under center for this Buffalo Bills squad. And 6-2 feels pretty good. The Bills have a chance to go to 7-2 on Sunday when they travel to the 2-6 Cleveland Browns, who somehow are a 2.5-point favorite in that game. We, of course, will break down the Week 10 matchup for you coming up later on this week on Believe, Buffalo Bills fan podcast. For my esteemed colleague and co-host, Jamie D'Amico, I am John Boccacino signing off and telling you to please go follow us on social media at Buff Rumblings. Jamie is at the Jamie D'Amico, and I am at John Boccacino. For Jamie D'Amico, we'll talk more Bills football with you later on this week here on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast.